Regard for the Walt Disney Company in the business world remains high, despite Michael Eisner's recent troubles. One reason is the sports giant ESPN. While other parts of the Disney empire have faltered, ESPN generates big profits and big audiences. Millions of loyal viewers turn to ESPN for their daily sports fix. The ESPN formula combines round-the-clock coverage with more than a dash of irreverence. From member station KJZZ in Phoenix, Mark Moran reports.
Who could have predicted ESPN's success back in 1979, when a handful of eager freelancers cobbled together a highlight program called SportsCenter? The Entertainment Sports and Programming Network began as an experiment in the new world of cable TV 25 years ago, when almost nobody was watching.
And we were making it up as we went along. There were no rules, there was no micromanagement, there was no grand philosophy. It was essentially the first episode of Survivor.
Bob Lee, who now hosts an interview program called Outside the Lines on ESPN, was the network's first full-time anchor when, frankly, he didn't have much to talk about.
God bless the guys in programming. I mean, we softball, slow-pitch softball, karting racing, Australian rules football. We had college football, but it was on tape on a 2 or 3 day delay.
This is SportsCenter. A few words from the wise. Pedro talks revenge. No more talks, period. And Sammy talks candidly about steroids. Plus, why the Cubs are the talk of Chi-Town.
These days, it's hard to escape ESPN. It's ever-present in restaurants, airports, and hotels. ESPN has become the main ingredient in many a sports fan's diet. Even players tune in to see if they made the highlights, which are presented with quick wit and catchy writing, designed to hold the attention of today's multitasking and easily distracted audiences.
Tiger by the tail, always winning gracefully. SportsCenter. Now.
Scores, in-depth interview programs, and a reality show. The winner gets a one-year stint as a SportsCenter anchor. Even ESPN's own advertisements have a signature style.
All right, you guys have money, but you don't have attitude. You're too nice. It's pathetic. You're the man. Say it. You're the man.
I'm the man.
Oh, I'm the man. Come on, you gotta be like, I'm the man. You gotta raise it up like that. Puff up a little bit. You.
I'm the man.
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 I tell you what, it's working. We're making a difference.
You can catch the highlights pretty much any place in the world. Fans are watching in Paris, Moscow, and Hong Kong. The network has grown to employ 3,500 people. There are 7 domestic and 25 international television channels, a radio network, a magazine, restaurants, and a prominent presence on the Internet. It's a far cry from the cable TV experiment that crackled to life from a trailer in the middle of a muddy rural Connecticut field. ESPN President George Bodenheimer started in the company mailroom 23 years ago.
You know, we televised things that weren't televised before for a lot of reasons. One, we didn't have any money to pay big rights fees. Number two, people considered us a joke. They wouldn't even sell us product. So we televised things that previously had no exposure. And you know what? It turned out to be extremely popular. It's really never stopped. We've never overestimated this country's demand for sports.
If you asked most Americans what could they live without, if you said, I'm going to take away a few channels, and one of them was ESPN, those people would revolt.
Scott Cleland, an investment research analyst who specializes in media companies, says with a weekly audience of 80 million viewers, ESPN feeds America's seemingly insatiable appetite for sports.
They are a primo advertising audience of the right demographic. You know, young men, beer commercials, they'll pay a lot of money for prime advertising. And that makes that content more valuable than most anything else.
ESPN may be as valuable to a Disney suitor as it is to the country's rabid sports public. Cleland says the sports network alone generates $1 billion a year for Disney, 20% of its total revenue. ESPN is Disney's most profitable property, bar none. That has allowed the sports network to command high prices from cable companies. During recent contract negotiations, cable operators said they felt strong-armed by ESPN to take their content at more than twice the price of other cable channels. Frustration boiled over to the newspapers, where both sides took out full-page ads to state their cases. ESPN president George Bodenheimer pushed for higher fees, but says he knew where to draw the line.
40% of Americans have, 150 channels in their home. So the remote control is the ultimate in democracy every night. If you don't like what you see, you turn the channel and your ratings go down and then your demand goes down. So, we're all operating in an extremely competitive environment.
Knowing viewers have a choice in what they watch, Bodenheimer backed off somewhat. ESPN agreed to reduce proposed price increases from around 20% a year to about 7% in deals just reached with two major cable operators. In exchange, the cable companies agreed to carry even more ESPN channels, building on Bodenheimer's philosophy of constant expansion. There's always a trailer on ESPN's Connecticut campus, a symbol, Bodenheimer says, of where the network came from and where it could go. For NPR News, I'm Mark Moran.